Whether the person telling me all of it is getting tired of answering all my questions. But when we were talking on that side, you said that you enjoyed most of the work. Did you, were you ever nervous about the work you were doing or feel...
insecure or something?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't. Because I had also learned somewhere along the line that if a person wants you to do something, they will help you. Mm-hmm. If they don't want you to do it, then they make it hard for you, something to that effect. Yes, I've gone on jobs that I did not like, and I knew what to do about them. Don't do them. Just stand up there and act dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And get yourself, don't push yourself, in other words. If it's something you don't like and you feel like somebody else can do it better or you feel like they ought to find something else. I remember one time a foreman sent me over to another department. And a girl and I, and we went over there and we had to shoot in Buck Rivers. We was back on that thing again. And so she said, well, I'm going to shoot them this morning. You can shoot them this evening. So when evening time comes, she grabbed a gun right on right after lunch. And I just stood up there. I didn't even do nothing. And the foreman didn't like this, so he sent us back to the apartment we came from. That was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I soon learned how to take care of myself on these jobs. If they give you a job you don't like, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand there and pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Or stand there and just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look sick.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they will find something else for you to do.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of worked out your own ways of doing it.
I want to break there. Lots of times I did. I'm sure I did.
Uh-huh. Was there any kind of special services or anything provided by the company?
Yeah, they had a place they call the welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go over there and ask for legal advice, and you could get it without charge. And if you wanted to get papers signed or you want somebody to read over a statement that you didn't understand, but so much of that I did not need. I had no need for it in various ways. And in the meantime, it was there for the people who needed it. I knew it was several girls who just couldn't keep their bills straight, and they was always getting their checks garnished and so forth and so on. And then they had a service where you could come over and sit down, and they'd tell you all your bills you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth and so on, and they would sit down and work out a pattern for you, and they would tell you what you could spend and what you couldn't. It's like they'd say, I'm just calling X number of dollars. They say, okay, you can only spend $10 for groceries, so when you spend that $10 for groceries, no more groceries this week. And what you could buy in there, they would tell you what you could buy in order to make it last you through. They'd tell you if you could go to the picture show. If so, you're going to have to find one that you could go in for 25 cents or whatever it is, and if you like to drink beer, you can only have 3 beers a week, and that's that, because you can't afford it, because
mm-hmm.
you got to pay these bills. So they did help you. That was a lot of help, don't you think?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And if you got to go to the beauty shop, you can go to the beauty shop every 3 weeks instead of every 2 weeks until you get your bills caught up. So they had that type of service for you. So,
mm-hmm.
And then some places, they had places where you could go and get stuff at discount.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have a lot of benefits, and we had the insurance there, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Did they have anyone who was, I know at some of the plants they had a woman's counselor? Who
yes.
Uh-huh. Did they have someone like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they had someone like that, but you know they don't have all that now.
Huh. So was she there just for a certain amount of time?
No, she was there. That same woman stayed there during the war, just like me. See, I... been there 37 years, and she just left about a little over a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how long she was there. She was very nice. When my husband died, she went downtown with me to get the place put in my name, and she helped me with all my legal papers and stuff like that. And they do all of that without a charge. So that was good, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, do you remember her name?
At that time, her name was Campbell, Mrs. Campbell. She had a new name. And nobody ever called her by a new name because it was too hard to call. So they just called her. Everybody knew Miss Campbell. You go to see Miss Campbell about everything. Anything go wrong, you go see Miss Campbell.
So she retired?
She retired, yes.
Uh-huh.
And they just didn't replace her because the plant is changing so now.
Mm-hmm. Now, this plant that you were at was the one in Inglewood?
In Inglewood.
Uh-huh. And did they have any kind of recreation?
Yeah, they have a recreation building out there. Practically everything out there but a swimming pool. And once upon a time, I think they used the swimming pool over there in Inglewood somewhere, but I don't think they use that one anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was full of everything. You go there and had all the gym stuff with a lady there to watch your tennis out there.
And they ball. Had this during the war, too?
Yeah, it started during the war.
Uh-huh.
And have a picnic area out there for you. It's nice, very nice. You still use it.
Mm-hmm. Did they have clubs or anything like
that? Yeah, they had clubs out there, whatever. They had rock clubs, you know, and what kind of club? Hiking clubs, skeet clubs. You can go out there and learn dog training places out. And horse, they had a, used to have a something out there called the Flying Horsemen. They belonged to the North America. It was a group. Yeah, they had a lot. They had a flying club out there. They had a lot of clubs, but I never did belong to any of them. But sometime I would go out and watch them participate.
Did they have any kinds of special social events or anything that would be just for the black workers?
No, not so. Uh-huh. Not segregated, they didn't.
Uh-huh. Could black workers participate just as freely in
the Yes, theaters? Whatever. Uh-huh. They used to have a dinner all the time for the people that had been there 20 years or 25 years, something like that, but they cut that out too.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have it. But it's not anymore.
So, it sounds like they had quite a few things there for the employees. You're saying they had the club.
Yes, they did.
Counselor.
You still can get discount tickets, you know,
uh-huh.
for different places, for Knoxbury Farm, Marine Land, and the Penn Magic Mountain, and
mm-hmm.
where is Disneyland, Knoxbury Farm, or even San Diego Zoo, they have
uh-huh.
discount tickets and stuff like that for you.
And that started back during
the war? That started back. Well, I don't know. It didn't start really during the war. It started more or less after the war.
Mm-hmm.
The trips to Las Vegas.
Were there any kind of bond, war bonds?
Yeah, we still buy the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
We still buy saving bonds through the company. Have a credit union.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any kind of company newspaper?
Yeah, they have a little newspaper. The union had one, the company had one. I can't think of what, I don't even have one to show now.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a little company newspaper, and you can put an ad in there if you want something, you know, free.
Mm-hmm.
And you have bulletin boards where you can stick your little ads up on.
Did the company newspaper, did you read that very
often? Yeah, I read it every week. It used to be out every Friday, but now they put it out every 2 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did, during the war when you were there, did you have a sense of, were there, safety, the feeling that the things you were working with might not have been safe to work with, or,
No, not necessarily. So I sort of thought like they, did some of the things pretty good and some... It wasn't too bad. I think they was pretty safe, though. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially where I went through, it was pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of, it gave you some protection if you needed it.
Mm-hmm. Was there any kind of marking, say, on machinery?
Yes.
That would say?
Yeah, it says use goggles. Don't come through this department without your goggles on, safety glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried, even though some people still would, something would fall happen. But it's just like everything else. Some of the people themselves wasn't so safety, you know. They didn't follow the rules either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made it as bad as it was, you know.
What was the lighting like in the plant?
It was always seemed to have been pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't seem to have any problem with the lighting. The worst thing we had in the plant was the noise. I think that was the worst part, and it's hard to keep noise up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the worst thing I think we came in contact with, the noise.
Did they ever have any, was the temperature in the building
It seemed
at all?
Yes, it was controlled pretty good, I think.
Was this building a real large building then? Or?
Yeah, some of them was large.
Uh-huh. Was there more than one building on the site?
It was more than one. Well, if it wasn't more than one, it had partitions between it, let's put it like that. So that did upstairs and downstairs, and then some walls between there that sort of separated you from the other group or something like that. They had quite a bit of that, too.
Mm-hmm. So did the parts of the plane move from place to place, or did you move?
No, they moved, and they have a lot of dollies and stuff to move them with, so you really didn't have to do any lifting to do much good.
Mm-hmm. And were you allowed to, say, move out of the area you were working in, or were you supposed to?
Well, no, you're supposed to stay there. You couldn't move without a pass. You had mm-hmm. to have a pass to get away from your area, but you had a badge that was a roving badge, so you had to stay in your area, especially while you was working. While you're supposed to be working.
Was there much concern about security and things during the war?
Yeah, I think they had quite a bit security during the war, but it's just like I'm saying, the part where we was working in, it wasn't necessary to be so particular about it, because we had no secrets where we was working. There was no secrets in that. If they had any secrets, it was somewhere else, see?
Mm-hmm. When you were working there, did you have the sense that the job would go on?
No, I never dreamed it would last this long.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking even after the war was over and we came back to work after the war, I just thought that, well, we'll be here just X number of months. Then we stayed another year and then another year, and it just kept going on from year to year, and I just said, well, when will it play out? Mm-hmm. Then I just got to the conclusion that I says, well, it was not going to play out. I'll just plan to stay until it plays out then.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't bother to look for anything else, which I wanted to look for. I wanted to go to school and be a nurse.
So that was during the war you were thinking about?
No, after the war. I was thinking about it after the war, but I kept on working. I never got laid off, so I never found it necessary to look for another job. If I had to look for a job, that's what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I was going to try for a nurse. I was going to give up the idea that I wanted to teach.
Did you, during that war, when you were making this higher salary, it sounds like it was a lot higher than you made before then.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I thought I was really doing good. But in the meantime, when I came back and I started hard in there at North America, I was also getting that $50 a month from my husband.
Oh.
He was in the service.
Right.
So I had that. So that was just saved right away, see.
So what were your plans for the money you were making?
I was planning on buying a home and a car. And I was going to go back to school, I thought, if my husband got out of service. And that was my plans, but he came back. I never was laid off, so I just never found it necessary to look for another job, to go to school for another job.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the baby, too, which wasn't too much of a problem. I don't guess I'd have found a babysitter, but I wanted to. I just kept thinking, well, I'll get laid off, and then I'll go to school then. And I just kept on going and going, and I discovered I was too old after a while, so I just had to give up the thought
mm-hmm.
in a way.
He came back in 1944?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how much longer was it after, do you remember what month he came back in?
January.
Uh-huh. How much longer did you stay at North American before you quit? To have Beverly?
No, I stayed there. He came back in January.
Uh-huh.
And I got pregnant must have been in September.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's close enough. September, and then I went on around to September into March. And that's when I took off to have Beverly
mm-hmm.
in March.
And that's 1945?
It's 45, yes. So she was born in June
mm-hmm.
of 45. And then they laid everybody off the 15th of August in 45. So So then I stayed home with Beverly until the next year in June. Then I went back to work at North America.
Mm-hmm. When your husband first came back, how did he feel about your working at North America?
Oh, he thought it was all right. He didn't say anything. He had no complaints.
Mm-hmm. Did he have? Did he then have to look for a job, or was he still attached to the service? Or?
No, he looked for him a job in the cleaning pressing place, which was just plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
There was no problem finding a job. He'd just go work anywhere. Because
mm-hmm.
he was needing help, because all the people had left the plants and had left these cleaning and pressing jobs and every other job. They was in service. I mean, they was going to the plant to work
uh-huh.
because they was paying good. But in the meantime, he was getting the same thing as the people out there was getting, which was a dollar and a quarter an hour. That's what the men was making, about a dollar and a quarter an hour. And so he could get that same thing pressing clothes, so that's why he didn't bother to go out to North America to go to work. But what he forgot and what we both were thinking about, they did have better benefits because
mm-hmm.
they did have an insurance plan
mm-hmm.
and a union to back you up. But in the meantime, he was working, making more money, so it didn't make him any difference. You know, he felt like he could, you know, balance off without that.
Did you use that insurance at all?
Yes, I've used it quite a bit.
When Beverly was born, did you was she born at home or in the hospital?
Hospital.
Uh-huh. So was that here in
Los Angeles? Yes.
Uh-huh. And you were still living.
I was living in there, over on Compton, with my
mm-hmm.
sister in this small little back house.
Before your husband came back, what did you do for in your time off?
Recreation, which was on a Saturday and a Sunday. But see, my sister worked the swing shift, and that made her get up late on a Saturday morning. So we didn't do nothing but piddle around the house, and we'd work in the garden outside, and we'd just go for little rides on the streetcar. The first one plays, we'd go to the parks and look or something. Then we go to the picture show downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We always went to the picture show downtown and look at the newsreel because it said, where it happens, you see it happens, or something like that. So we enjoyed going to do that on a Sunday
mm-hmm.
since we was both off together.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have televisions at that time.
Did you have a radio? Or?
Yeah, we had a radio, but no television.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear any entertainers or anything like that at the noontime hour?
Yes, at North America they had a little place out there called a bandstand. And they would come out there at noontime and, oh, it was different people. I wish I could think of somebody's name who was out there. They had some kind of old hillbilly band out there and they'd come out there and entertain you all during the lunch hour. That was the main thing. Now that you mentioned it, I had forgotten about that. This year they had that old stage up there and a lot of seats out there and you get your lunch and you run out there and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I sure wish I could think of somebody as a band that was at that time used to come out there all the time. And that was free, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they did. They gave us that old entertainment out there. There's a lot of, I just can't think of anybody now that really went out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they sure did.
Did they spend a lot of time or did you ever have a sense of them talking a lot about these jobs in terms of patriotism and things that were happening during the war and or that your planes would be used by the soldiers, any things like that? Or?
Well, I guess they did. They had some kind of program that they talked on and they write it in the little Skywriter. Oh, that was the name of the paper, the Skywriter. And well, they had it in the paper, and they'd show you this, and they'd give you literature on first one something, and then another. And they told us you was being patriotic by working and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tried to brainwash you to make you believe that your job was necessary.
Mm-hmm. Did you get caught up in that at all, or was it just...
No, I don't think I did.
Uh-huh. Did the war going on, that the war was going on, change life much for you? Or
yes, it made me live better. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
My sister always said the one that came out here, that's why you can't talk to her, because she's so radical. She said, we always say that Lincoln took the veil off of the Negro. I think it's a statue up there in Washington, D.C., where he's lifting something up off the Negro. Haven't you read about that or heard of it or seen it or something?
Yeah.
Well, she said Hitler was the one that got us out the white folks' kitchen. She says he did a wonderful job. She says he should have been praised for it, you know, and blah, 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 she says. Because when Hitler invaded all those countries over there and liked to whip England down, and then they had to call on the black man to come out and fight, and they sent that black man to war, and that woman had 5 and 6 kids, and the first one she sent out from there, he wasn't married because he wasn't able to get a wife, and he went into service, and he sent that his mother back $37, you know,
mm-hmm.
A month. And that was more money than that woman had ever seen in a lifetime, because when the man paid her off at the bank or wherever she cashed it, she was entitled to get a $20 bill out of there, a $10 bill, and a $5 bill, which she had seen very few tens and twenties. And that woman looked at that money, and she was thought about that she was working in that white woman's kitchen for $4 a week. And she said, no way. She didn't go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
After she got the second check, that woman did not go back to work, because she said, I'm getting more money out of the mailbox than I'm getting going up there working. So that sure did help a lot. That really turned things around, and it has never been the same since. You cannot get that cheap help anymore, that good cheap help. You can get some help, but it's not as good.
You were mentioning earlier that the men were not given as good jobs at North America.
No, they weren't. They were given the worst jobs they could give them. If it was a job, you know, just like you know for yourself what's there in at your school or something to that effect, and if they give you a lecture, if they write 3 or 4 subjects down there for you to go check out, you know which one is the best, that you can get the best information on or what it is. Well, they'd always give that Negro the worst part of everything, because, see, the jobs have already been tested and tried out before they ever get into the department.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what's good about them and what's bad about them, so they always manage to give the worst one to the Negro.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any ideas or opinions on why it was that the men were given the very worst jobs, and that the women sometimes fared a little better?
Well, the only reason why they fared better with the women, they just couldn't quite give the woman as a tougher job as they gave the men, but sometimes they did.
Mm-hmm.
There were some women that just worked on just a tougher job, and I can't exactly tell you what would, and not knowing what a tough job would be, but it's just like putting that cast, that old stand, that thing on. Let's face it, now you know that's light and you can lift that real easy, but there are other jobs that's twice as heavy as that, so you've got to admit, and the hole is thicker, the drill through which would take you longer, so you know that's a tougher job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that job would come with the holes already drilled, and all you have to do is just get the screws and put them in and tighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now before you put the holes, before you screwed it up, well, the job would be, you got to drill that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So drilling it out would be the worst part of the job. So, okay, they'd have the Negro doing that tough drilling.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got to the place where they also got to the place where they, you could put in suggestions a lot of times, and you got money for putting in suggestions of how to make a job simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they got to the place where they figured out, well, we'll get a drill press to drill that with, which would be easy, well, they didn't give that to the Negro then. They took it and gave it to somebody who could do it, that they give it to a white person because it was easier work. The machine was doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
So they just practiced that, and they still practice some of that right down to the day. They just, I just don't know when they'll ever straighten that up or if it will ever get straight.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I can say, people don't speak up for themselves. And a lot of times you speak up for yourself, you lose your job, but that's a chance you have to take. And sometimes you won't. Sometimes they end up, they'll call you back because they found out you was doing a good job and they didn't realize it.
Did you see anyone lose their job during the war for speaking up?
Yes, I have. I've seen them during the war and after the war, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the fellows asking for a raise, and the man wouldn't give him no raise, and he just set traps for him so he could do bad work and stuff. And no sooner than he walk out the door, he'd tell somebody else, just like he's billing those little parts of that. He said they were wrong and bad. He just say, here, take these parts and fix them up so I can sell them. And then he said that he messed them up so bad that he couldn't sell the parts, and that's what was on his record, that he messed up the parts so bad until he couldn't do the work, and that wasn't true. And why they wanted to get rid of him sometime, you would never know. They had no real good reason other than they just wanted to see how many blacks they could get rid of. And there were some departments that didn't even allow a black person to walk through there, let alone work in there.
What kinds of departments would those be?
They wouldn't be nothing but a simple department, just like if the work was easier in there. That's all I can tell you. And one of the departments would have been sort of like, I've worked in an apartment like that. It was a hydraulic assembly. And the hydraulics part is the thing that opens up like this, how the door opens on the plane. It just does like that. It has a piston that goes down in there. And a barrel that the piston goes on, and you screw this on. It must have been about 15 parts that goes into that little thing, and it's everything on it was precision. And in the meantime, you didn't have to do anything with the parts but just put them together, put them together. You washed them in some kind of a fluid, and you dried them, and you laid them out on the table, and the man come by and inspect them, and then you put them together. And it was an easy job. It was a sitting-down job. It didn't require a whole lot of thinking up there. But they just did not want the Negroes working on an easy job like that. They just did everything they could to keep the Negroes out of it.
So when you left Yosefka, it was in the beginning of 45? Because you were pregnant.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, maybe what we could do is